Areena. Hello, I'm Hannah Anderson and welcome to another episode of All Points North. Today we're discussing a deceptively simple question: what makes someone Finnish? Is it a passport? Is it a last name? Is it speaking fluent Finnish? Or even a childhood spent sitting in a sauna? For many people, the answer might seem obvious. But for others, especially those with mixed backgrounds, dual nationalities, or Finns who grew up abroad, identity can feel more complicated. You can have the citizenship, the family ties, even the memories of summers at Mökki, and yet you still feel like you have to explain yourself. And this feels like an important moment to ask that question. Finland is changing. It's becoming more international, more multilingual, and more diverse than the image many people still hold of it. Last month, Statistics Finland reported that the number of second-generation Finns, i.e. people born in Finland with both parents born abroad, passed the 100,000 mark for the first time. But as the country changes, so does the question of who gets to belong, and who gets seen as truly Finnish. It's also a question that feels personal to me. I'm half Finnish myself. I was born in Helsinki, but moved away after only a few years. Growing up, I was lucky that my mother spoke Finnish at home, and regular summer holidays here meant Finland always felt familiar. But familiarity and belonging are not always the same thing. I found that not speaking Finnish exactly like someone who grew up here, or not relating to shared school memories, or missing cultural milestones can sometimes make you feel outside of things. I moved back to Helsinki almost 2 years ago now to start an international master's programme. It's been interesting to realise that among international students, I can feel very Finnish. So there's this strange in-between space. Not quite Finnish enough in one room, and too Finnish in another. What's helped me most is finding others with similar experiences. To delve into this some more, I met with three friends, all of whom either grew up abroad or have mixed backgrounds. Ida is half Finnish and half German, but grew up in Belgium. Anna is Finnish, with Swedish-speaking Finnish parents, and moved to Canada when she was just 4 years old. Similarly, Fanny is Finnish, but spent most of her childhood in the United States, after moving there at the age of 5. All three moved to Helsinki for their postgraduate studies. We met here at the Helsinki University Library, and we talked about what it means to be Finnish, how that identity can change after moving here, and whether the way you see yourself matches how others see you. One thing I really wanted to know was, has anyone ever questioned their Finnishness?
So many people. It's so sad. I think even my cousins, even my siblings, they poke a little fun at us. My sister had also lived in the States for a long time, but she's been back in Finland for 7 years and they still poke fun at her. So yeah, there's definitely people that, going back to like the closed-mindedness of like some people and how we just choose to ignore it because it's irrelevant. People really pull on that, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Ida, what about you? Has anyone questioned your Finnishness?
Well, yeah, but it tells more about than it does about how they react to my Finnishness is their problem. I do feel Finnish enough.
Yeah, I would say, you know, pretty often, given that, like, I'm not only someone who's lived in Canada, I'm also Swedish-speaking Finn, and they're already questioned by mainline Finnish society. So I feel like sometimes it's, like, double, like, the stress of, first of all, trying to prove. I feel like I constantly have to prove that I belong here, especially because my family is from, like, really rural areas of Swedish-speaking Finland, so I have very few connections to where I'm actually living right now. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I do feel a bit like maybe like people think it's wrong that I'm here, but you know, sometimes you just gotta roll with it and not take it too personally.
And this is kind of, I don't know if you guys saw a study done recently, that there's now the number of second generation Finns in Finland has exceeded over 100,000 or something like this, some big statistic. So in times of what you could call an ever-changing Finland, where do you think this sort of, I guess, mixed, potentially like mixed background Finns or half Finns or Finns who lived abroad, where do you think the kind of, I guess, where is it going? Where is people's perception of it and the, like, I guess, normalization of it going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredibly helpful to have people from different backgrounds, actually, and different language skills. I think it helps strengthen the country, actually. And throughout all of human history, populations have been endlessly changing. And I think the idea of like one ethnically homogenous state is sort of more of a myth than something that's ever actually existed. So I think we should see what happens now as sort of a continuation of what always happens in history. And I think it will provide potentially a better future for Finland when we think of things like declining birth rates. You know, things like immigration are more important than ever. And, you know, having people with different skill sets from around the world, different language skills, I think they'll be really positive for the country.
I wouldn't agree more. I don't know if I could ever top that answer. I agree.
It makes me happy to hear that statistic, personally. I've also heard, you're going to have to find a source for this, but that 20%-ish of the city center of Helsinki is, like, declaring themselves as English-speaking. And I totally understand the debate that you should try to protect Finnish culture, but I think that Finnish culture would be so much more beautiful and wholesome if it accepted more. And just coming from the States, I'm sure Anna agrees with your background in Canada, that being in a very non-homogenous environment is just so much more, like, enlightening. You learn so much about other people and cultures that in Finland, if you're not around the, like, different cultures, you're just not going to experience. And also, the food scene will only get better if we have more people from elsewhere.
So my takeaway from our chat is that identity clearly isn't something fixed or universally agreed on. And it's not only about how you see yourself, but also how others interpret you. And those two don't always align. That's where things can start to feel complicated. Which leads to a bigger question. What actually creates that feeling of being Finnish? Is it language, shared experiences, or something less tangible? Importantly though, what emerged from those conversations wasn't a rejection of Finnish identity, but a broader understanding of it. Their experiences challenged the idea that identity has to look or sound one particular way. You can grow up elsewhere, you might not speak the language perfectly, and still that identity can belong to you. And while these are the experiences of my close friends, they don't exist in isolation. As Finland becomes more international, these kind of stories are becoming more common. So maybe this idea of being in between, not fully one thing or another, isn't something unusual anymore. Maybe it's actually where Finnish identity is heading. But how is that shift being received more widely? To explore that question beyond my own circle, I spoke with Zemima Moan, a filmmaker and the creator behind the YouTube and Spotify documentary project Finland in Colour, What Makes a Finn a Finn? Through his work, he explores how multicultural Finns navigate identity and belonging in a country often ranked among the happiest in the world, yet still grappling with questions of inclusion. I wanted to understand more behind how he came up with the question.
Right, so what makes a Finn a Finn? The question is, you know, personal in its origin. It was seeing my children, who are mixed Finns, growing up, coming of school age. It was a question that I was asking myself was, you know, and this was a common theme in most of my interviews, as people talk about as being a Finn of color, you are often asked, you know, where are you really from? Or,
yeah.
Or do you speak Finnish? Oh, you speak Finnish so well, and things like this. And so my question was like, is this what's going to happen to them really? Is this their future? And really just asking the question, like, what does their future look like? And are they going to be accepted? Because they don't know anything else but being Finnish. And So that was really the motivation with regards to my children, and with myself, it was can I find a home? You know, I've been sort of bouncing around the world my whole life, and Finland, 10 years is the place I've lived the longest in my life. And I'm 47 now, and it was just something I wanted to explore. Where am I? You know, the musical chairs have stopped, and here's where I am. And it's like, it's time to sort of really take a look at your surroundings and start to learn more about the culture and the people who live here, and sort of see if you can yourself find a place here and call it home as well.
What emerged from that conversation was a deeper question around acceptance. Because even when people build their lives in Finland, speak the language, or consider the country home, that doesn't always mean they are fully seen as belonging here. I wanted to ask Zimima if there were patterns he had noticed in who is and isn't accepted as Finnish.
One was what I just mentioned, you know, being asked questions, you know, where are you really from? Something I've experienced in my own life with my children as well, seeing that firsthand. But I think that falls into under an umbrella which I would call microaggressions. Mm. So this idea that you are experiencing, you know, these moments in life where you're not really thinking anything of it. You're just sort of having a normal day, and then immediately you get sort of confronted with this sort of, you know, smacked in the face, as it was told to me, that you are different. And it's like, oh, wait, I forgot about that. I'm different. And being, and that can create a sort of cognitive dissonance, and a sort of, there are studies that show that it can cause, you know, mental stress as well, you know, and affect your mental health. And so this was a common theme, was the idea of being invisible, you know, in some aspects of society, but then also being hyper-visible, I think was the word.
Yeah.
And constantly being reminded of that. Can sort of has sort of something that was came up quite often.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other ones was this idea of exceptionalism, right? That you have to be perfect to speak perfect Finnish, to belong, to be the best. And I sometimes, you know, often I'm concerned about that for my children, you know, always saying like, you don't have to be, you got to try your best, but you don't have to be the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And these were some of the common themes, were basically this sort of burden of representation, I would call it.
Throughout the project, Zimima speaks with people whose experiences of Finland are often missing from the national conversation. Before we finish speaking, I asked him what he hopes these conversations will achieve.
Was that I'd hope the project, Finland in Color, what it is meant to be or what it is to me, it's an opportunity for these conversations to be had, right? With whoever you need to have them with, right? So that's what I hope it does, is that people can watch it with their family, with their children. There's many different individuals that will be published. And, you know, my hope is that, you know, I can reach as many people as possible and we can start the conversations at home.
The Finland in Color project is ultimately about creating space for these conversations. Conversations about identity, belonging, and what Finnishness looks like in a changing Finland. But navigating those questions can be difficult, especially for young people and intercultural families trying to make sense of where they fit in. So after speaking with Zimema, I found myself wondering what kind of support currently exists for people living these experiences every day. To understand that side of things, I spoke with Elina Helmonen, Executive Director at Familia, an organisation that works with intercultural families across Finland. She also has a multicultural family herself, giving her both professional and personal insight into these issues. I started by asking what kinds of support families are most in need of right now.
We have a lot of contacts from our counselling, but also peer support. We have many. Like at the moment, we are having this kind of support for families and under school age kids, where families come together related to kind of the minority language in the family, and how to, so that the kids can have to hear and maybe learn even the language that their other parent is having. Like we have Korean, Chinese, French, Spanish, or many. We have at the moment, I think, 19 languages. And it's really popular because for parents, it's important to kind of give the language. And sometimes there is not many chances of the child to actually learn and hear other than in the family circle. So that's why that's one of the, I think, most popular at the moment for us. And especially if there is the Finnish language in the family, then the other languages easily can be kind of not getting as much attention because the child learns the Finnish easily in the daycares and everywhere, depending on, of course, the circumstances. But yeah, then family counseling, because, you know, it's quite it's more common to separate from an intercultural family, like marriage or relationship, than if you are with a Finn or even say with same cultural background. So yeah, and of course when you get a child, that's one life at the time when you need support, because it's a new thing. And then of course if your spouse don't have the same kind of background, there might be like how we deal with religion or what kind of you know, things is important for you to the child to know, and how you raise, and well, all this. Yeah, we try to cover the crisis point and all the aspects of there is many.
Elina's point about the difficulties that intercultural families face is supported by recent data too. A report by Statistics Finland last year revealed that a marriage between a Finn and a foreign background person is up to 4 times more likely to end in divorce compared to a union between two Finnish spouses. That's based on a decade of data from 2015 to 2024. What also stood out here is just how broad that support needs to be, from language and identity to relationships, parenting, and even navigating everyday systems. And it reflects something bigger. These aren't isolated experiences. They are part of a wider shift happening across Finnish society. So with that in mind, I wanted to zoom out and ask what this change might look like in the years ahead.
Intercultural families, as we kind of spoke, that statistic-wise, if I would say, like there is the one parent born in Finland and the other one born abroad, the time has tripled during the 40 from 1992. So, I mean, it's growing every year and we cannot take it. So I think we need to just find a way to improve our services, legislation, how to make Finland kind of good for diverse families and multicultural families. However, you know, because you cannot just kind of say that they don't exist. It's every 10th family basically is somehow multicultural.
Yeah. I think that is maybe a good point. That is a more, it's such a bigger problem than just a one organization trying to fix it.
Yeah.
What do you think schools or government, or you maybe said that there needs to be a change in legislation. What do you think, or even in public attitude, what needs to change?
Well, I would say first that we need to actually take it as a serious problem, racism and discrimination, because it affects the kids, their well-being, but also it affects the families. And, you know, we have the structural racism when it comes to employment, and what we kind of always express that usually I mean, at least one of the spouse or parent from our families is moved here, maybe because of love. I mean, somehow at least stayed here for love, if nothing else. They might struggle to get a job because of the structural racism. And of course, if you cannot contribute financially to the family household, however you say it, it might bring also this unbalance in the power of the relationship, which causes problems in the relationship. Yeah. And then one thing, like legislation-wise, that we shouldn't make it harder for people to have like a permanent, the possibility of permanently living here. We always say that our families want to come here. They want to live their life as a family here. So when we kind of make it harder for people to reach that point, it is harder for the family, families to have the security, which is so important because, and now there has been this change because every time, if every 4 years you need to kind of prove your authority that, oh, we are a family and we live together, it is a stress in mind. It might be, you know, if you don't need to go through that, it might not be something that people recognize as a big problem. But yeah, for our families, the stability and having the chance to live here permanently is important.
What Elina describes is a Finland that is already changing, but perhaps not yet fully keeping up with that change. Because while multicultural families are becoming more common, the structures around them, from employment to legislation, don't always reflect that reality. Yet, throughout these conversations, one thing kept coming up again and again. Identity is rarely as clear-cut as people expect it to be. For many, being Finnish exists somewhere in between. And as Finland continues to change, that definition might be changing too. Maybe the question isn't simply what makes someone Finnish, but maybe it's about how a country makes space for different ways of being Finnish. I would really love to hear what you think about this topic. You can contact us by sending a message or a voice note to our WhatsApp, +358 44 421 0909, or you can also email us at allpointsnorth@wiley.fi. Now for a quick roundup of what else has been making the headlines in Finland this week. Finland is moving ahead with plans to tighten income requirements and language proficiency rules for foreign students. This is part of wider efforts to reform immigration policy aimed at ensuring students can support themselves during their studies. Police in Tampere are investigating 3 assaults during a far-right May Day march in the city last week. The incidents have raised concerns about extremist activity at public demonstrations. US-based food delivery service Uber Eats has begun operating in Helsinki, with plans to expand to Espoo and Tampere later this month. The move leaves Wolt as its main competitor in Finland after Germany-based Foodora exited the Finnish market at the end of February. Finland's Eurovision 2026 contenders, violinist Linda Lampenius and singer Pete Parkkonen, held their first rehearsal in Vienna ahead of the contest beginning next week. Lampenius has been given special permission to play her violin live on stage. And that's about it for this week. With the weekend drawing in, I'm planning to sit down and watch Ali and Ava. It's a British drama about two lonely people from very different backgrounds who form an unexpected connection through music, community, and shared experiences of feeling slightly outside the world around them. So it ties in nicely with the theme of this episode too. And just a gentle reminder that it's Mother's Day in Finland on Sunday. And lastly, a big thanks to our audio engineer Pasi Ilkka for putting this week's show together. We will be back again in 2 weeks with another episode of All Points North on video, so be sure to tune in then. Bye for now!